In the United States, Republican support for Donald Trump has increased despite Congress voting to condemn racist remarks by the president. A national survey has found that Donald Trump's net approval among Republican members has risen by 5%. Only four Republicans supported the House vote to rebuke the president for his racially charged tweets against four Democratic congresswomen in which he told them to go back to their home countries. Republican leaders have now lined up to swear their loyalty to Donald Trump, saying the president is not racist.
I think everybody ought to tone down their rhetoric. The president's not a racist. And I think the tone of all of this is not good for the country.
I believe this is about ideology. This is about socialism versus freedom.
That's Republican leaders Senator Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. Well, Matt Mikowiak is a Republican strategist and a former Capitol Hill aide in the George W. Bush administration. He joins us from Texas. Matt Mikowiak, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Yes, thank you.
By and large, almost to a man and a woman, Republicans support President Donald Trump, it would seem, denying he's a racist. Let's talk about it in strategic terms. Is that the correct move?
Look, I'm not a fan of the tweet itself. I'm not a fan of telling Americans that they need to, quote, go back where they came from. You know, three of these four people were born in America. The fourth became a naturalized citizen. But that said, you know, I think one of the big divides we have in America is that Trump supporters take him seriously, but not literally, whereas Democrats and the media often take him literally, but not seriously. And I think that's what's happened here. The president was really just trying to, I think, isolate these four far-left members of the Democratic Congress. You know, their views are well outside the mainstream in our country. And as a result, the Democratic Party up on Capitol Hill has had to embrace them. And it's going to raise their profile and give them more political power. And so as a political tactic, as a strategy, I think it probably helps. I don't like that it kind of picks at the scab of race relations in our country. I don't think that's helpful. But as a strategy, I think it probably was a net benefit to him.
I'm going to come back to race relations, but are you clear in your view, and I described you as a Republican strategist, that that's all that was going on here, that the U.S. president was playing a long game, basically, you know, locking the Democrats in behind this four women they call the squad, and making them the public face of the Democrats for many?
Yeah, I do think that's what he was doing. You know, these four members have been going after him, you know, pretty aggressively since they've been in Congress. One of them said, used a vulgar word and said they'd impeach him on the, you know, first day she was in Congress. They go after him, they attack him all the time, and he's ignored a lot of it, but he, I guess, for whatever reason, felt the need to finally counterattack. So, but yes, I do think this was about isolating and highlighting these four particular individuals. Keep in mind that this group was basically calling Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat in California, racist just last week. So they're very careless with their language, and they like to attack people, and they don't really like to get into debate.
Nevertheless, if this is a strategic move by the president, what is it aimed at? Is it aimed at stirring, you know, racial resentment in key seats? That, you know, what seats is he targeting here? Because he needs to play a strategic game in terms of the Electoral College to get a majority next year.
Yeah, I think it's probably less about that and more about making sure that these extreme members of Congress come to define the Democratic Party writ large. You know, the Democratic Party that, you know, a Democratic Party that's led by someone like Joe Biden is more mainstream, more pro-business, more moderate. It's hard to, you know, describe that as an extreme party or extreme ideology. These four people are really not in that category. You know, they're talking about you know, this Green New Deal, which is totally absurd. But, you know, one of the members won't criticize the terrorist organization Al-Qaeda. You can kind of go down the list. I mean, it's really kind of amazing. They continue to support the BDS movement to punish Israel. So these are not mainstream views. These are views that are held by 5 or 10% of the country. And so if from Trump's perspective, if he can continue to highlight these members to make their views represent the entire Democratic Party, that benefits him.
Okay, these are not mainstream views, perhaps, if you accept that theory. What about the president's comments in that tweet? Are they mainstream? Are they mainstream within Republicans these days? Is the Republican Party racist?
Yeah. So, no, the Republican Party is not racist. We have female, Hispanic, African-American, Asian elected officials throughout the party. to say, to tell someone who's here who does not have white skin to go back where you came from is a racist statement. It's a racist trope. It's been used for decades. It was used against the Irish in the late 1800s to early 1900s. It's been used against all kinds of groups who've come here. So I do think that part of it was a racist statement. I don't support it. I don't think 99% of elected officials who are Republican would have ever said that. The president maybe said it to get a rise, maybe to create controversy. He likes controversy. I think the broader message of, you know, that these four members are pretty openly socialist and really want to take the country in a very far left direction is what he was really trying to get people to focus on. And again, the tactic is not one I would have used, but it may have ended up being fairly effective.
Does it surprise you that in the modern Republican Party, in the Congress, within Congress itself, only four Republicans voted with the Democrats to condemn the president's tweet? Does that say to you that only four Republican congressmen or women disapproved of the tweet, or that they disapproved of the Democrats' tactics?
Yeah, it was more about the tactics. I mean, you had far more than four members of the House on the Republican side criticize the president's approach on that Twitter message. So it wasn't that, you know, 4 out of 200 people in the House believed that.
It's all a bit softly, though, Matt, isn't it? The criticisms of the president from within Republicans in Congress these days, it's a far cry from, you know, even in 2016 when Paul Ryan even and others were speaking out. It's quite softly now.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is that you've got about 94% of Republican primary voters that support the president. So you don't have a lot of room to maneuver with your own electorate back home. The president is, 45 or 43% popularity across the country, but he's got 94% popularity amongst Republican voters. Mm. So these members simply do not have a lot of room to criticize him. I think for a few of them who are vulnerable next November in key states or in swing districts, they've been a little bit sharper in their condemnation and criticism, but it's hard. It is hard for Republicans to criticize Trump because he is so popular among our voters.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 23 past 6. Matt Mokowiak is a Republican strategist. He's a former Capitol Hill aide in the George W. Bush administration. Would it be fair to characterize that exactly as you just described there as Donald Trump conquering the Republican Party?
Yeah, I think you have to admit that's the case. And there's a new best-selling book that makes that case called American Carnage, written by Tim Alberta here in America, that really talks about how Trump took over the Republican Party. And you have to remember, Trump was really not a major figure in the Republican Party until really only a few years ago. He'd been basically a Democrat most of his adult life. He'd given the members of Congress and senators in both parties. He'd been a businessman in New York. But his takeover of the Republican Party, which began in 2015, was pretty complete by the time he got elected president. And he's honestly sort of consolidated that support. And I think really for his supporters, they like who he fights with. They like that he's willing to stand tall and not give in. And they like what he's doing. They like that he's cut taxes, that he's made the defense, American defense, strong again, that he's focused on fighting these trade agreements to improve them, that he's put conservatives on the court, that he's standing strong for Israel. I mean, these are things that his base strongly wanted to see.
There's a difference, though, Matt, isn't there? Isn't there a difference, though, between Trump's base and the wider Republicans? I mean, I think you just said 94% of Republicans support Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time when many in the Republican Party wouldn't have liked who Donald Trump fights with, isn't there? And still must be some?
Yeah. No question. I mean, his approach is not a traditional Republican approach, right? The Republican Party has been a free trade party for the last 20 or 30 years, and he's made us much more protectionist, much more willing to use tariffs. On immigration, he's been far more restrictionist than the party's been in the past. He's generally more isolationist on foreign policy than the party's been. But look, he's the leader of the Republican Party, and he's the leader of the country. And so he sets the course and sets the direction. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, Republicans have followed him because they've believed that if the Republicans are divided, that we're weaker. Dividing the Republicans while the Democrats stay unified is a way to help the Democratic Party, and that's a calculation that our side has made.
Matt, we're almost out of time, but this tweet this week from the president, would that have been the president's idea, or was this a strategic move designed in back rooms?
Good question. I generally think it was probably his decision. It's possible he was given some clips and some quotes from these four members of Congress that got him fired up. But I think the language itself is pretty reflective of him and the way he talks and how he likes to communicate. ultimately, the decisions on Twitter always rest with him. He likes using that medium because it's a way to directly communicate with people without the media filter. He feels that he doesn't get a fair shot in the media, and on Twitter, he posts a message and people hear from him directly, so he likes using that tool.
Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Take care.
Matt Mikowiak is a Republican strategist and a former Capitol Hill aide in the George W. Bush administration. The polls show that Republicans like Trump and they like this tweet, but I guess if it's a long game, you have to see whether there's going to be any other spin-off here in terms of whether Republicans become branded a racist party, whether that has impacts in other areas.